Doesn't that computer know who you
are? Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is
me. A little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact scenario.
I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my
onto
friend?
A Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk. This is Tech Talk.
It is.
And we're in the right place.
Somewhere. I think so. Somehow.
Oh, boy.
Somehow. And we've got all sorts of special guests today.
That's right.
You know, not only...
First of all, there's you. There's Michael Tech Talk Cancer. I'm Dave Sparky Saganaki.
Absolutely.
And we have a guest in the studio, a listener from Toronto, Canada, Jay Wissywig Wilson.
Oh, you know, and she's got a nickname, too.
Wissywig.
Wissywig. And not because of how it sounds, but because it's what you see is what you get.
That's absolutely correct.
I like that. That's, you know, that's a good nickname. I like it.
Yeah.
We've, of course, got our other Jay. I told Dave earlier, I was hoping that being in the studio wasn't gonna ruin the magic for Jay here. But
that's what you meant. I thought you... Yeah, I think that's definitely happening.
I don't know how you took it, but...
Yeah. And by the way, there's an invitation to all listeners of Tech Talk. If you guys want to come in and observe the show, come on down.
Sure. We've got a green room. We've got see-through windows.
Yeah. We'll ruin your magic, too.
That's absolutely. If listening to us doesn't do it, believe me, seeing us live, definitely going to take
your...
Well,
speak for yourself, buddy.
In addition to Jay from Canada, we've also got Jay Garman from Louisville. He's going to be on in just a few minutes. In fact, I'm going to try and push that fairly quickly through here, and then after that we're going to have Jim Gemmel, who wrote a book with Gordon Bell. They're both from Microsoft, and it's called Total Recall, and it's a really cool read. I just got through it myself recently, and it's got some just amazing things. We've talked about a lot of the stuff on air, at least the direction people are going with cloud computing, with Evernote, mm-hmm. with getting things done by David Allen, all this stuff, kind of bring life logging. We're right in the trenches of the Total Recall battle, apparently, mm-hmm. and I didn't even realize it. So we're going to bring him on. He's going to talk to us about his take on it and this just fantastic book they've come up with. So we'll get to there too. And
so geek trivia with Jay Wilson.
Jay Garman. Absolutely. We got an extra Jay. You know, the other week I had an extra Dave. Now I've got an extra Jay.
Right. And and then it's great to have representatives from Microsoft, such a large part of the computing world, coming in.
Yeah. Well, I got to talk to Jim. You know,
book?
And actually the foreword of the book is done by Bill Gates. And I got to talk to Jim. I got to ask him, what did I ever do to tee off Bill Gates? He won't return my phone calls. I never get a response on the emails that I send him. What did I ever do to that guy?
He just doesn't realize that this is the center of the technology universe right here.
You'd think
information
by now.
Technology is... It's not Washington. It's not Redmond. It's right here.
Exactly. Yeah. You'd think by now people would have picked up on that.
It's probably jealousy.
I mean, last week we had Perry Aftab in here giving us scoops on the FTC work and
scoops. Is that the way a hard news person says scoops? Scoops.
I don't know, but that's how I say it. So, I most days I feel barely capable of repeating the news, let alone reporting it. So when we actually had something that we beat some people on, I'm excited about that. Speaking of news, though, we do have probably a few things that we could even talk about.
What was the scoop? Now you've got people curious. What was the scoop?
The scoop was her brand new website. Now Perry Aftab is, if you listened last week, was involved in safety, wiredsafety.org, wiredmoms.org. These organizations have been around for 12 years or so,
right.
But there's a whole new set of sites and a thing that she's releasing just now. It's just literally been turned on within these last week, and it's called socialsafety.org, and it's specifically geared towards kids and parents of children to educate them on how to interact responsibly and safely with social networking. And that includes Facebook and MySpace and Flickr and all this great stuff that everybody hears about and knows about, but maybe you're a parent and you're just one step away from actually using it yourself, so aren't sure what the dangers are. This is the site that you can direct your kids to and yourself that's going to help you through it. And nobody else is aware of that yet, unless you're a listener of the Tech Talk show. She hasn't made her big mass media announcement when she's just done it through. Are we mass media? I don't know. We probably don't count, do we? Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It's a tough question.
How many people do you need to be a mass? That's what I need to know.
That's another good question.
Yeah.
Dozens? If it's dozens, we're good.
We're traditional media. How about that?
There you go. Terrestrial radio.
Terrestrial radio, traditional media. My keyword on my social media sites or byword is so retro, I'm on radio. So I don't know. You know, it all comes into play somewhere or the other. This last week, there was some pretty interesting things that happened.
Tons of stuff.
One was that Twitter got hacked. I don't know if you heard about that.
Yeah.
But if you went to Twitter at certain points of the day, you would have been redirected to a website that was... I don't have it in front of me. It was for Iranian army or something like this.
There you go.
They did it not by hacking Twitter sites, which is what you would think and be like, oh my gosh, they got into Twitter. It was much simpler than that. They actually did a basic DNS hack, which DNS, we've talked about this before on the show, directory name service is how you find a website on the internet.
Right.
And what this organization did is they said, I'm going to go in and basically inject a new address into all of the DNS servers, and so that when you go and look for twitter.com, instead of translating to 192.168.0777,
but that's not really a Twitter hack, is it? That's a DNS server.
It's a
hack.
DNS server hack, exactly. Yeah. But it directly was focused on an impacted users of Twitter service,
right,
so
exactly.
People saw it as that. But that's done. That's over with now. It's
in that vein. Was it the Iraqi insurgents have hacked into the video from Predator drones? Have you seen that?
Oh, I briefly glanced at an article about that, but tell me more.
I wish I could. It was satellite. I guess it's a satellite downlink is the one aspect the Defense Department says that has not been secured or encrypted. So they can. There's programs available on the internet that cost in the area of $20 or $30 that enable you to intercept downlink. Satellite video, and it's been like this since late last year, actually. At least the news has been out there since late last year.
$20 or $30. That's all it takes these days.
Yeah. Billions, and you got to wonder about the engineering compromises they're making on these things. If that's the case.
Yeah, man. It's one of those big questions too. And we're dealing at work at my day gig, we're dealing a lot with security questions and deciding how much security is it reasonable,
right?
And do we need to concern ourselves with? Because of course, the more security you add, the higher the cost is driven.
It's more difficult to use. We've talked about this many times before. The perfect security system for your car is to weld the door shut.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to bother your car, but you can't use it. Use it.
Yeah.
And some folks, their idea of security is to weld the door shut on their computers or their networks.
Yep.
So that they're impossible. I think more people are relaxed than they are over cautious, though, I believe.
Well, I think that's very true. Yeah, especially for the consumer users, I guess, home users and things like that. I think people tend to reuse the same passwords for every single site they go to.
Yeah.
They use passwords.
Oh, I would never do that.
Everybody's looking down at their shoes.
Well, come on, how many passwords you want to remember? I shouldn't probably say this because if there's an identity thief out there, but I modify slightly my passwords.
Yeah. I tend to try and... The way that I've found that works pretty well for me for passwords is I'll create a phrase. I'll think of a phrase like save big money at Menards, and then I'll leet speak it up, and I'll use the initials and things like that.
Well, so like WYSIWYG.
WYSIWYG is a perfect example. Change the S to a dollar sign, maybe one of the I's to a number one, put an exclamation point at the end, and there you go. You've got a pretty solid password that's reasonable. Some of them.
Except everybody listening today.
So Jay WYSIWYG from Canada, please don't use WYSIWYG as your password, even with all the LeetSpeak additions that you use. And unfortunately, biometrics just hasn't reached the point of usage where it's you can really effectively
if that stuff breaks, I mean,
exactly,
fingerprint readers and face recognition and all that stuff, if it breaks. Years ago, I put a password on a IBM hard drive on a laptop and a ThinkPad, mm-hmm. and boy, don't ever do that and forget it. It's over. It's over. If the machine breaks, it's over. You just cannot get into that hard drive at all.
Now, there are tools out there that will let you do that nowadays. They're much easier.
But that's what you call that. That was the basic level. What am I thinking of?
Yeah, like where the rootkits.
No, not CMOS. It's rootkit.
The BIOS.
Where the rootkits are on the hard drive. All the listeners are yelling it at us right now.
Yeah. I'm looking on Justin.tv here. If you go to Justin.tv/WRLR, you can join in. And I'm not seeing any chat on there. No one's hopping in.
It's the very start of the hard drive. It's the basic information of the hard drive. I can't remember what it is.
Yeah. You know, it'll come to me.
Boot sector? No. Is that right?
That might be right.
Yeah. Boot sector.
I think that sounds right. That sounds right. It was
a boot sector level password. It was.
Yeah, you set that in the BIOS.
Right.
You go in the BIOS.
But if you don't have it,
if you don't forget it, you're.
If you forget it, you can forget it. I tried everything. I spent like weeks. I just, you know, and it was a proprietary hard drive, I think.
Yeah.
That was the other thing. So it was a little.
That's a good segue to. I was going to give listeners some homework this week.
Really?
Now we've got.
What's that noise? Clicking. Radio's clicking off.
Yeah, exactly. Now this is fun homework.
Oh, cool.
In addition to, of course, answering Jay's wonderful geek trivia question, which mm-hmm. we'll have on in just a second here. Mm-hmm. I was thinking that since we don't have a guest next week would be a good week since we're close to the end of the year here.
We're having a show next week. It's Christmas weekend, Mike.
Oh, yeah? I was planning on being here.
Okay.
I don't know.
Mr. Scrooge. Mr. Tech Talk Scrooge.
If you want your coal, you've got to come in to work. How do you expect to get any coal without... Anyway. If we have a show next week, well, this is what we'll do. If we don't have a show next week, I'm sorry. My sense of time is obviously not quite right. I've got three kids, too. They're going
to
be probably...
That's why you want to come to do the show, to get away from...
Exactly. It'll be time to get out of the house covered in wrapping paper.
Yeah, and ribbon and all that stuff.
But what I was thinking would be a good time, since we're right at the end of the year here, too, to send an email to techtalk@wrlr.fm and tell us what your two things. I got two things.
Two things.
Answer either one, both, all of the above. I don't care. Whatever. Just send us an email. Tell us what is your predictions for 2010.
Ooh.
Your big tech predictions for 2010. And if you can, tell me what was either the coolest thing or the most useful thing technology based that you used in 2009 that you just thought was awesome. And the reason I say that was a good segue, what you brought up, is one of the coolest things I use, it most useful things that I use all the time, constantly and consistently, is KeePass. KeePass is a free piece of software, saves all of your key, all of your passwords.
Your passwords,
tells you whether they're strong or not, mm-hmm. allows you to copy and paste them into other things, and it's secure.
Fantastic.
It's a nice way to go.
Yeah.
So something to think about.
And that's a great homework assignment. So, and the email is at techtalk@wrlr.fm.
That'll work.
Okay.
That'll do it. And hey, let's get Jay Garman on the phone here too.
I wonder what the weather's like in Louisville now. There was a big storm out east.
And we've had some snow here this morning, but we're expecting some big stuff here very soon. So.
Washington, D.C. is going to get 20 inches.
Hello.
Good morning, Jay.
Hey, fellas. Happy holidays.
Yeah. Same to you as well. We're happy to have you back on. We were just debating how bad the weather was in Louisville.
Yeah, it's just a little cold and rainy. We're pretty good, actually.
Oh, that's not bad. We've got snow here, and we're, of course, the East Coast is expecting to get completely blasted. Mm. But be that as...
Also, it's going to snow there.
Exactly. Yes, it's not going to be a storm of biblical proportions or... that was right. That was War of the Worlds was from a few weeks ago. We were talking about things that you can't say on the air. Now this week, though, we had another one about invaders, and now all of a sudden I've got this echo too. Dave's got his God is cranking the speaker's gone, but that's all right. The question this week that you had from us, and I wanted to get to it right away because I've actually got people that have sent in responses, was what was the game Space Invaders based upon for video games? And I think probably with it being Christmas, people are thinking about video games a lot and buying video games a lot, but may not realize what some of the early origins of these games were.
That's right. Tomohiro Nishikado, the very famous game designer that worked for Taito and that sold out to Midway, which sold out to Bally and so on and so forth, who designed Space Invaders, based the Invader designs on the aliens from War of the Worlds. Now, this gets a little complicated because when he read the book, the aliens are described as looking like an octopus. So he designed a few of the first alien like an octopus, which you can probably picture from the little pixels which one that is. And then he just went with an aquatic theme from there on out, like crabs and that sort of thing. So that was sort of like, all right, these are space monsters, look like they came from out of the sea. The problem is, when Space Invaders first came to the U.S., it wasn't called Space Invaders. It was called Space Monster. And so the side panel art for most of the original space, even after they called it Space Invaders, they didn't use aquatic themed design in the United States. They looked like just monsters. So, like bipedal monsters. They didn't look aquatic at all. So no one thinks, oh, those are kind of like the octopuses from War of the Worlds, because it didn't look like that on the panel art.
Yeah. You know, and now that you're saying that, I think I can almost kind of picture that in my head, the side of the case. And yeah, you're right, those bipedal with the kind of the slavering mouths and all that, more kind of the
which also is what people who played Space Invaders a lot look like too.
Well, yes, usually bipedal.
Usually.
With more of a BEM kind of look to them than the octopusy sort of monster thing. So
another word I'm not sure we can say on the air, either for moral reasons or because we're going to tread over some James Bond territory.
Oh, okay.
trademark issues. Yeah.
Exactly.
Copyright, rather.
Exactly. And we actually did have a response from Jonathan Guy, who wrote in and gave us the correct answer. Said that Nishikado drew inspiration from popular media such as Breakout, War of the Worlds, and Star Wars, and he put those together. Now, Jonathan Guy, for those that identifies himself as son of Customer Jones.
Oh, so, no kidding. Yes, yeah. I've met him.
Yeah, oh, you yeah, have yeah. you? Okay, yeah.
Really nice guy.
So it seems like an incestuous sort of thing here with the answers.
Within family.
Thank you for dragging us back to some semblance of propriety there.
Sorry, John. No offense intended to you or Customer Jones. I just until I actually get like my third cup of coffee down, my brain's pretty much on hold. So okay. you have to give me a little bit of leeway on these things.
Well, I think you need like some caffeine patch or something that Dave can just slap on you as soon as you get to the studio.
I think either that or I've been debating some way to figure out a time release that I could have something set up at night that it would start
an IV
caffeine.
And we could have an IV
Hours before I wake up. Actually,
actually, you say that, and I'm assuming you bathe before you come in the studio. And please don't disillusion me if that's not true. But you can go on ThinkGeek and get caffeinated soap.
Oh yeah, I've seen that. I've looked at it. I've thought about it. I've actually thought about it and considered it. But I'm still not quite clear on how caffeine would work. You know, coming by osmosis through your skin, if that would have the same effects and impact on you.
I assume it works just like a nicotine or a caffeine patch. It's just only it's full body and short term.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't rinse it off? Is it you just
I think there is some rinsing involved, although I have heard that there is a side effect that whatever is growing in your shower drain gets really aggressive. Sort of a Day of the Triffids thing going on down there.
I just keep a bar at my desk and lick it occasionally.
Okay, we're going to back off, and there are also caffeinated mints you can buy at Think Geek, as long as we're pimping for their products.
And Think Geek is a great site, actually. Again, you know, speaking of the Christmas thing, unfortunately, they're not a sponsor of the show. They should be, but they're not. But we still do love them. Great stuff. They, usually about this time of year, too, they start giving away free T-shirts when you buy stuff. So it's not a bad
That's
place
true.
To go.
Now, of course, if they were the true Ultimate Geek retailer, they would sell the Ultimate Geek product, which no one has invented yet. Caffeinated bacon.
Oh, yes, yes. More bacon, more caffeine. Yeah, how can you go wrong, you know? Actually,
exactly.
you need to take caffeinated bacon, make it into a soda, and then you've got it. I'm expecting this product to come out of China sometime within the next year.
I'm betting Jones Soda will have that sometime soon. Yeah.
Jones Soda. Now, are they the ones that produce? No, that's Dr. Brown's I'm thinking of. Yeah. That has Celray, celery salt soda. So... at any rate, what should we be? What should Jonathan Guy and Customer Jones and whoever else is interested in responding be thinking about for this next week on Geek Trivia?
Well, the original Space Invaders stand-up arcade units were powered by the famous Intel 8080 microprocessor, the same microprocessor that went into the monumental Altair 8800, the first commercially successful PC. What no one really seems to remember is that when Intel made the 8080, it wasn't supposed to go into personal computers or video games. It was just sort of an industrial, general-purpose microprocessor. So what was the first commercial usage of the Intel 8080 microprocessor? What was basically the first customer for it? What did they put it to use for?
And you did specify commercial usage, so this is
commercial usage,
going to be a military usage at all. Interesting. I you know, just the fact that the 8080 was used in Space Invaders was enough trivia for me almost. I don't even know where to begin with that. I was flabbergasted by this week, though, too. I honestly didn't even bother looking it up because I thought I knew for sure the Space Invaders was based upon Heinlein.
There weren't enough naked women for that to be based on Heinlein, okay?
Well, you know...
And I say that as a Heinlein fan.
That is a good point. Yeah. It's funny going back and reading some of the Heinlein stuff that I remember reading when I was, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and going back and reading it now, and some of it is just really tough to slog through. And as much as my memory, I still love it, and I honor the man, some of his earlier stuff, and then is a little tough because of the... a lot of the stuff in that era just had this such a naivete, and then also too kind of a layer of sexism on it. And I say that, if you haven't gone back and read some of the 1950s sci-fi, when you do, it's really almost shocking to current sensibilities, I think.
It's like some of the older episodes of Star Trek that are just like, really? I mean, this is progressive? it gets a little rough. For me, the worst one with that is Philip K. Dick, who has some really amazing ideas and really awful prose. I mean, just terrible.
Yeah.
But they make great movies.
Yeah. Well, and that's the funny thing, too, is, and I've done that recently as well with the resurgence of all the Dick's work into the movies and all the other stuff. And it's really interesting to read some of it and look at it and say, gosh, you know, this was made into a two-hour movie, and really it was like, for Dick, it was like a five-minute idea that he was like, oh, that's a cool idea. I should put that on paper. And he kind of whipped it out, wrote it up, threw it into a book, and that was, you know, if he even did that much with it, and that was the end of it. But the idea itself, the nugget and core of that ideas that he came up with were so amazing that you can do incredible things with them that even he didn't take them to their extent.
Exactly. Well, it was a $50 short story for Amazing Fantasy that he ripped off in 2 hours, and It reads like it, believe me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, hey, Jay, thanks as always for everything. JayGarman.net, I know, is where people can get more info about you and about all the cool stuff you got going on, including the Geek Word of the Week and all the other good stuff. And we'll I'll text you. I'll find out if you're going to be around next Saturday. Dave tells me there's some important things happening religiously and commercially.
Big holiday,
week.
Yeah.
So I'll check on your availability and we'll see what we're doing for next week. But at this point, anyways, assume that we'll have you on.
All right. Well, take it easy, fellas, and have a good holiday.
All right. Great, take care. You on, too. You too, Jay. Thanks.
All right.
Bye. Bye. Oh, hey. That is where I want to go. Just not right at that instant. We are going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back. When we come back, you're listening to Tech Talk on WRLR, and when we come back, we're going to be talking to Jim Gemmel from Microsoft about Total Recall. So stick around, and we'll be back at you in just a minute.
See you in a bit.
WRLR, 98.3 FM.
All Custom Electronics Incorporated offers service for all of your audio and video needs. Surround yourself with many audio and video possibilities. Dream a system and All Custom Electronics Incorporated can put it together. They have many brands of equipment available. Their services include installation of in-wall, in-ceiling, surround sound, home theater, and commercial electronic sound systems. Also, multi-room audio, video, and low voltage systems. All Custom Electronics Incorporated is a proud sponsor of WRLR and assisted with the design and building of WRLR studios. They have over 14 years of experience to help you design and build your dream sound system. All Custom Electronics can be reached at 847-254-1234 or at allcustomelectronics.com.
Programming on WRLR is funded in part by Right at Home Care, located at 409 South Main Street, Algonquin, Illinois. Right at Home is an in-home care and assistance agency providing quality senior and disabled persons care since 1995. You can find more details by calling 815-404-0880.
Hi, tune in to Georgia Lee every morning, Monday through Friday. I'm starting at 5 a.m. And I do the news, but I don't do much of it because it's really boring. So I read this other news. It's alternative news. And the alternative news is really, really alternative news. But they don't like me to talk about too much sexy stuff. So I do a lot of double entendre, if you know what I mean. That's This Morning with Georgia Lee. Wake up with me.
All right. We are back.
Are we?
We are. Believe it or not.
Oh, man, it's good to be back.
You know, like I said, we've got extra guests in the studio, and mm-hmm. It's exciting, and we're talking to them, too.
It is.
And trying
more,
to keep...
More exciting than it usually is.
More, it is. It is. It is.
It's
almost
absolutely an intolerable level of excitement.
It is. Oh, yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm. What are we doing? We are doing. You know what I'm
I don't
doing
know.
Right now? I don't even know. I'm looking at the screen. We're just a few minutes late for Jim calling Jim Gemmel.
We don't want to keep Microsoft waiting.
Hello.
Good morning,
Jim.
Jim, you are on air with Tech Talk on WRLR. Welcome.
Good morning. Good to talk with you.
Yeah, we're really excited to have you on. We've been talking you up and telling listeners about you and about the book for a little bit. But you know what? Why don't we? And I warned you I was going to do this. I was going to put you on the spot right away. Why don't you tell me maybe just a sentence or two about who you are? But then tell us, what is Total Recall? You wrote a whole book about it. What can you sum it up for us?
Well, sure. Well, first of all, I'm a senior researcher at Microsoft Research. I've been there 14 years now and worked very closely with Gordon Bell, who is also a researcher at Microsoft, and actually he has history going way back as known as the father of the mini computer and senior vice president at Digital Equipment Corporation and doing all kinds of things as a startup investor and a guy founding things at the National Science Foundation. But Total Recall was a book we wrote based on some research that we did and colleagues that we worked with. And it's really about how technology is going to make it possible to record your life in unprecedented detail and fidelity. And we saw this trend coming and worked on it and experimented to see what it would be like. And we're rather surprised to find out that there's going to be amazing benefits, you know, to our memory, to our health, to learning, to productivity at work, and just to how we tell our story to others.
Yeah. Now you talk about Total Recall in the book, and it's used in kind of different ways, either as kind of a state of being versus also maybe implementation of technology. How do you when you say Total Recall, what are you thinking of? Are you thinking of a set of technologies that are applied, or are you thinking of a state that we're going to exist in at some point?
Well, really, I'm talking about a capability, so that it's becoming possible that if you wanted to, you could record your entire life and forget nothing. That we've got three streams of technology. Firstly, recording devices, beginning with what we already have, digital cameras, and people having cell phones that are capable of tracking their location and recording things, and we have online footprints, and we have records of credit card bills and so on. But extending further and further into a world where all kinds of things can be recorded, where the world is increasingly instrumented with sensors. And then the second stream is storage, where our storage capacities are just growing to astonishing proportions, where we started out wondering, what would you do with all this? And one answer is, gee, you really could store pretty much everything about your whole life. And then the third trend is software, that we're seeing real strides in software to make sense of all. If you keep all this stuff, you can find things, you can search it, you can analyze it, you can do data mining and come up with interesting patterns. And so the three of those makes it inevitable that in the next 10 years, you'll be able to do this, record your life in this incredible fidelity. So the capability will be there, and then the question is, well, what will we do with it?
Yeah, I think that last piece is really kind of a critical part. Early on in the book, you talk about some other kind of watershed moments in human development, period, memory itself and development of language. If Total Recall and the concept of that gets developed enough, I mean, do you see that kind of pushing us to a new quantum change in human development?
Yeah, I do. You know, we talk about the era before literacy we call prehistory, as if it, you know, barely counts in history before people could write it down. And that's how important literacy was as a development. And the same way, I think we'll soon talk about pre-total recall, that we'll say, oh, look at those 20th century humans with the sort of paucity of documentation of their lives. It'll feel kind of the same.
And I think everyone's had that experience when you go to you're at a cocktail party. Maybe it's even one that you've thrown yourself, and you should know everybody there. And you're talking to the fifth person. You've had your second glass of wine, and you're trying desperately to remember what their kids' names are, or if they have a dog or not, so that you have somewhere to start that conversation. And
so, what are you looking for? Metadata hints for social occasions? Is that the deal?
That would help me.
Yeah.
What you talked earlier about the different phases. There's the collection phase of the pieces. There's being able to add to the pieces that you have. But I think really importantly is that software component. Being able to easily access information in a timely and in necessary fashion, like when you actually need the information, that it's there and you can get the right information. I think you're right. I think we're starting to get there, but what types of things have to fall into place before that type of situation is going to be practical, where you'll be able to be actually walking around and maybe there's an augmented reality component or something, but things would be presented to you when you really need them?
Yeah, well, you're talking about, what we say in the book here is, look at, it's very hard to predict the future far out. And we go by a rule where, well, if we've seen it in labs already, most of the time it takes about 10 years to go from labs to products. So virtually everything we discuss in the book, we've already seen somewhere in a research lab. Mm-hmm. And what you're saying now is a good example. My friend Thad Starner at Georgia Tech he walks around with a little teeny little heads-up display thing that's beaming onto his eyes, and he's having contextual cues brought up. They've been working on that for a number of years. But even, you know, even before we get into a lot of the automated stuff of where it comes up sort of before you even ask for it, it doesn't have to be that smart to know that you're at a party and here's the guest list to make that available to you. Mm-hmm. And already, there's amazing advances we can get just by having, say, correct medical records, so that when I show up at a hospital I've never been at before, they get my history right. That's a big deal.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and there's actually, in fact, there's a great, in the health records section in Total Recall, there's a really great little anecdote, and it was told from the point of view of Mr. Bell, of Gordon Bell, how he went to his doctor. He had some heart surgery recently, and there was some worrying splotches that were on his chest. And his doctor, after seeing him over the course of several days to a week, said, well, things look like they're getting better. I think we'll be able to release you soon. But Gordon was able, in his mind, he knew that that was actually untrue because of Total Recall concept. He had been taking pictures, digital pictures himself, and comparing them daily against reality and versus what he was seeing, and knew that, in fact, his splotches were not getting better. Now, fortunately, everything worked out okay for him. He's fine. He's healthy. But I think, that type and level of use of this concept is certainly possible today. There's nothing keeping doctors from doing that today.
Right, and that's why I think it's exciting to see the trend towards the first step is having all our patient records electronic at the doctors, at the hospital, and so on. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, that's finally picking up here in the States. The next step, though, is if you think about it, some of those records are at your GP, some are at the hospital, some are at the chiropractor. They're all over the place. And really, you are the natural hub of your records. So the next step we want to see is that all your records come to you. So that actually, I'll tell you another story. Gordon did go to a strange hospital, and he has done the work of getting all his medical records. So you think, okay, he'd be in good shape. But it turns out he had so many of them, and they were he had them on this USB key. Showed up at the hospital. He very nearly was dosed with something that he was allergic to. Mm-hmm. And so when he left, he ended up saying to them, okay, what are the top five things you want to know when I show up at the hospital? And they explained it to him, and we think, okay, that's the way we're going to head. You're going to have the records, and also it's going to be organized for quick access when you show up at a new hospital or something.
Yep.
Well, they can get at those important things like allergies quickly.
Yep. And that's, and I think that's one of the big hurdles that we have. Now, it's really easy to pick out onto healthcare right now because of this push for digital records. But I work with a fair number of doctors and people involved with medical care, and I know one of the big problems that they have with this is that when you move from one hospital to another, the not just the quantity of information, but qualitatively what the hospitals collect is different. How they use the terminology is completely different, and the way that they code it and encode it, it can be completely different. So all the skills that a doctor learns in one hospital of how to appropriately treat a patient and enter that information in a way that can be retrieved again is basically has to be relearned when they move to the next place. And I don't see that being different when we talk about Total Recall from individual to individual. The way that I tag things in Evernote, which I use, is going to be completely different from how you would tag your life events. So how are we going to come together on this?
Well, you're talking about the problem here, sort of having different hospitals speak the same language, and you're right, that is something that needs to be worked through. However, a lot of it also is just simply standardization, and a lot of it also are things that go away as our software gets better. So when you're at a point where you have to say enter a code for a drug instead of the actual drug, and then each hospital has their different code. We all face that in sort of the old terminal systems for data entry. But our new systems, you know, when you go in and say type an airport code now online, you don't have to get the code right. As you type it, it's auto-completing and showing you the full name of the airport along with the code.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we get better software like that for, you know, drug and different symptoms and so on that you'd enter, it won't be as much of a problem getting the standardized codes right.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I want to look a step further too. That's only the first stage. The first thing is that we have our existing records electronic. The next thing is now we start sensing our bodies that we have already. You can get in-home sensors from companies like Philips to track your blood pressure, your blood oxygen level, you know, scales that'll electronically track your weight for you. And we're going to get wearable devices to do that. And the final frontier that they're working on is in-body implants that know what's going on inside your body. We're going to get to a level of instrumentation of our health. It's just really exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that scares a lot of people, though, too.
You know,
Dave is shaking his head. Now, I'm on the OCD, I want to collect and know everything side. In fact, my favorite new toy, I love it, is I finally got a new smartphone. I had been using the Nike Plus, which is basically a pedometer for running, but now I've got my new smartphone. It's got GPS. It tracks. It can track my heart rate, the software I've got on it. So when I go out and jog now, I get back, I can see my pace, I can see the altitude I ran at, I can check where I was fast, where I was slow, what music was playing. I can map it all on a map. I know exactly where I was at any moment, and it's being recorded back real time. And I've actually even told my wife, if you don't hear from me in an hour or two, just go online. You may need to come pick me up. And you know, so I think that's going to be maybe. Do you think that we'll wind up having kind of a you know, two classes of individuals, people that are taking advantage of Total Recall and maybe taking the risks with it, but taking, you know, advantage of some of it too? But then other people are going to be those late adopters who are going to take a while to come on board.
Oh, sure, and. In all, to be frank about the situation, is today's early adopters, like all early adopters, go through a lot more expense and inconvenience. You know, the products become cheaper and more convenient over time. So there'll be some people who will wait a little bit longer until it's more convenient. But, you know, what you're talking about there about tracking actual data, that's very important. Instead of showing up at the doctor and saying, oh, gee, I think I started feeling crummy sometime last week, you know, I'm not really sure. So, no, you go in, here's the chart of my temperature and my blood pressure and so on. And we've had studies already that show that people are more motivated to take their medications, which is a big problem, not taking medications, but they're more motivated to do it when they have the feedback of what's going on with their body. And there's a whole host of benefits. So, and the other thing is also the... I talk about inconvenience. Well, it's inconvenient compared to doing nothing, but it's getting a lot more convenient than it ever was. So already, if you think of how hard it would have been for you to track your runs like this 10 years ago, that would have been real pain. Now you're an early adopter, and pretty soon it'll be pretty much automatic. You hardly have to think twice about it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think too, you know, there is a fear out there. I think the fear is on a couple of levels, and the fear is legitimate too, you know, about security. You know, you talked about Gordon bringing in a USB flash stick, and obviously that's a piece of equipment. It's a piece of data then that he owns and holds physically in his hand. But really, for Total Recall, as defined in your book, to work, you can't really be relying upon a single piece of physical equipment to synchronize across everywhere.
So you're talking about automatic real-time uploads of your biometrics and stuff like that?
And cloud computing coming into play. Is that, am I off base on that that line of thinking with it, or...
No, you're not. I mean, although, to put it in context, it won't be too many years now until you have a 1,000 gigabytes of flash memory in your cell phone, you know, a terabyte. So that's an awful lot of storage there. It won't be like you'll be in a hurry to have to transmit that data off to the cloud. But it is true. We're going to develop such vast collections about our lives that it won't fit on any one device. And also, we'll want to be able to access it from any device we happen to be at, and also to have any device record things about us and transmit it. So you're absolutely right to say this is a sort of networked world we're headed to, and you just connect to it whichever way happens to be convenient at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think you're right. I think we're, you know, we've talked a lot on the show here before about where we see device convergence going, and the fact that, you know, you don't have to have a laptop and a cell phone and a PDA, you know, and a TV, and a, you know, all these things are now basically wrapped up into one device, and you combine that with some online storage. There was a great vision somewhere in the book, I don't remember exactly where, of basically, you know, whatever device you pick up, once you register with it, all of the information that you've been collecting over the years is automatically there. Your contacts, your information, your total recall source history is just there. And when you're done with the device, it gets lost, you decide you want to upgrade, whatever happens, it's automatically and securely wiped. Unfortunately, we're not there yet. I think that's what causes some of the fear. You know, one point I want to get to, because we're Dave keeps looking at the clock here. He's always trying to keep me online, which is great. One part of the book, there's two parts that I wanted to definitely touch on. One part is you talk about the idea of digital immortality. And I think that as we are seeing more of this kind of thing happen with the Facebook and MySpace and all that, where even after people pass away, there's still this record in history of them. You had some really interesting thoughts about where that's going to evolve and what's going to happen with that.
Yeah, and you know, that's something we're just all attracted to as humans. Gordon and I were talking to one person doing a startup in this area, offering as a service. People want a place to be able to go and collect memories about a loved one, or you know, on top of the artifacts that they left behind, they want to go there and tell stories and create a digital memorial. Mm-hmm. And in the book, we look at, you know, what a difference it is from prehistory to history, from pre-total recall to total recall. As we start to have humans who leave behind this rich record of their life, of their location and who they were with, and lots more pictures and video and audio and just the deep sense of what they're like, and you know, that's exciting to me. I think, oh, I wish I had that for my great-grandfather. Mm-hmm. And then going even further, I think you're touching on the digital immortality. We're talking about, we have so much information about you that we can actually do a synthetic, you know, inversion of you, that mm-hmm. we can try to emulate what would you have said, because we have so much of a record of things that you did say and know all about you. And, you know, think of what would it be like if you could ask your great-grandmother, well, what was it like meeting great-granddad? It'd be pretty cool.
So how does this fit into the Tiger Woods story, though?
Well, I mean, that's a good point. And will they want to expunge their record and just leave the tidy bits for posterity, or will they let it all hang out? I mean, that's your choice.
Yeah.
Will it be a choice?
I think Dave, you hit it there. Is I don't know that we'll have the option. We may have the option to remove our specific perspective on the events as they occurred. But, you know, you look at, Tiger Woods, of course, everyone's talking about that. But, you know, one of the stories that came up was he had called one of his alleged, you know, paramours and told her, you know, remove my name from your cell phone and do these other things and all this other stuff. She chose not to, obviously. She's a known person in this and all that. And that's where that breaks down. He can try to expunge his information off of his cell phone. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make a difference. She's still got her perspective on it. Right. And if the only perspective that's going to be left is somebody else's, do you want to expunge yours?
Maybe this is a new paradigm. Maybe everyone will be much more ethical now.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm figuring.
Zane almost hurt himself laughing at that one.
Yeah. Well, actually go ahead.
You know, actually, there's sci-fi writers who have explored that kind of theme. There's a number of books that I post on one of my websites where they say, what if it became increasingly impossible to get away with telling a lie? But I think you actually raise a very valid point about Tiger Woods, because even though he didn't record anything, but someone else did. And in a sense, even the people who say, well, I'm not interested in recording and so on, well, you might be the only one who's not recording your life in that sense. I mean, certainly the authorities are, and your friends are, and you kind of think, well, you don't want to know the least about yourself.
Yeah, Yeah, and or have the least say about who you are, I think, you know, is almost what it comes down to. Yeah, and one of the books that you you bring up was, yeah, Dave's looking at the clock again, he's freaking out, was, I think, the one that that I've actually read was Truth Machine, I believe it was called. I can't remember the author. Was it Halperin? I can't remember who wrote that one. But there was also, there was one book you didn't mention I was just going to tweak on, was Jonathan Lethem. The first that I ever saw of a Total Recall situation was Jonathan Lethem in one of his very first books, Gun with Occasional Music, in the early 80s, was writing about this very concept of someone basically losing their soul and personality, but because of Total Recall capabilities, no one knew. because everything was still available. He would meet people, he would know who they were, he could speak their names, he could talk to them and hold reasonable conversations. And it kind of gets to that digital immortality with, you know, you break it into four steps, and we're doing three of them already, almost. We're digitizing the information that we have today. We're adding to it daily and hourly and by minute with new sources. We, at least personally, are interacting with that digital record. The only piece that's left of the four stages that you define were that the record would continue to grow after we're gone and would continue to learn in the same way that we do as we're alive. And I think I think the book is fantastic and gives a lot of things to think about what's happening and some ways to kind of get there earlier if you so choose to.
Yeah, and really what we're saying here is we're not telling anyone they ought to do this. We're saying, look, it's inevitable that it's possible. And then we're predicting people are going to do more of their health recording because here's the payoff. We found the payoff. People are going to do more for the payoff in learning. It's going to help education. They're going to use it more in the workplace. They're going to use it more to tell stories and leave things to posterity. And as you see those advantages, you say, well, it's just so compelling. I had one person ask me, well, what's the problem that's going to stop this? I said, no, there may be a problem, but it'll never stop it. It's inevitable. It's like when cars came out, you'd say, what's the problem? I'll stop it. Well, they're smelly and noisy and they scare the horses, but it wasn't going to stop them the first time.
Yep. We say that about Dave a lot.
Yeah. It's very true, actually.
Well, Jim, I apologize. I'm going to have to pull us to a close. This was a great conversation. I'm so
very
happy
cool.
You were
cool.
able to join us. And thank you for not only for joining us here, but for the book itself, Total Recall.
Well, thanks, guys. It was a real pleasure.
Take care. Have a great weekend, Jim. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
What a fantastic interview. What a great guy.
Yeah.
Great idea.
Oh,
a great
my
concept.
Gosh. Yeah, fantastic.
So well spoken, too.
Really good stuff. Really good stuff. If you do get a chance, it's just a great great lot of information is available there for you. And
we are so
stuff.
Out of time,
and
too.
We are totally out of time.
Not totally. We can
Well, yeah, we got 3 minutes, right?
Yes.
That's tons of time. We got by Tech
well,
Talk
no,
stands,
it's not.
That's tons of time. Tons of time.
No, it's not. We're a little behind schedule.
We're a little behind. We're a little behind. Okay, let me give you just two quick
cool sights of the week.
This is something that happens every holiday season for me. Is you go to a relative's house and they say, Mike, you're a computer guy. My computer's all broke. Make it work now, please. And so there's...
That's no way to talk about your family, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not trying to imitate anyone specifically, so I'll... Yeah,
everybody can be offended equally.
That's right. Yes. We are equal opportunity offenders. Yes. I like that. Yeah. So there are some great locations out there that you can find some stuff that will help you out. And one of them, one of the best is there's a thing called nearisoft.net. It's a whole group and collection and selection of freeware tools and system utilities for Windows that will help you out of a lot of jams. Mm. And it's nearisoft.net. I'll give you the exact link to where the utilities are. Really, really cool stuff. Another one that's a great place to start tool is there actually is a repair tool, which is you can put it on a flash drive. It's got antivirus, anti-spyware, all sorts of stuff collected from the best freeware sites around, put into something you can run off of a flash drive.
A thumb drive, yeah. Way cool.
Really good stuff. It's from TechNibble.
TechNibble.
Yep, go to technibble.com and computer repair utility kit V1 with hyphens in between all of it.
Yeah.
And you'll get there. But I'll give you the link too, of course, at techtalk.wrlr.fm where you can check us out. And don't forget, send an email to techtalk@wrlr.fm or drop us a voicemail at 847-984-0847. And I am going to leave you now with the podcast only song of the week because we don't even have enough time probably to get through all of it. And you know what? I'm going to go a little kind of a mellower song here.
Oh, really?
For us,
something more mainstream, or
a little more mainstream. Imogen Heap. She's
I like her. Somebody I've actually heard of. Yeah.
She's singing us. Yes, it is. I have a few that you had. If you want me to throw those.
Oh
on.
No. You've got more than a few, Mike.
Scotland Yard gospel singers and. Rosie Flores.
I've heard of all those.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I can't.
I'm not as much of a caveman as you make me for.
Well, we're gonna do Imogen Heap. I am in love with you, and we're probably not gonna get through the whole song, but you are gonna want to stick around. Anyways, because of course,
all the hits.
Jeff Davis, Zane Adams, all the hits. They're coming up.
Homeschoolers coming in.
He says we got homeschoolers. Homeschoolers coming in. So so lock the doors, bar the windows.
So stay tuned for that. Maybe we'll see you next week, folks.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. Take care. Have a great week, guys.
Thanks for listening.
Right now, another please, just like